Book of Luke, chapter 11, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Here we see the disciples were asking Jesus Christ to teach them to how to pray. And the verse 1, it says, they saw Jesus Christ praying. Disciples said, the John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Could you please teach us how to pray? Luke said they saw Jesus praying. And then they said, could you teach us how to pray? This prayer also is given in book of Matthew chapter 6. Go to the Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Luke missed it here.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now here, this prayer is like a model prayer. But many people take this prayer like a everyday prayer. Some of the people learn this prayer in Sunday school. And if you go to their house and say, could you please pray? They don't know how to pray. They will just do this Lord's Prayer. And they think that's okay. Here the Lord was teaching them, when you're praying, you're praying to the Father. Up to now, nobody taught them who the Father was. Jesus Christ is the only one told them that I came from the Father and I do everything what the Father says. So he is trying to say now, you know who God is. God is our Father. He says our God lives in heaven. And the Word of God says in St. John chapter 4 verse 24, our God is Spirit. So God lives in heaven, but he watches over us. He says everything what we do, God sees us. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. So he says, when you start praying to the Father who is in heaven. Our heavenly Father is a holy God. And so you pray to him. And when you're praying, pray to God that your kingdom should come on earth. Even though in a million years, in the millennium, they will be sinners. In the millennium, there will be death. God's kingdom will be here on the millennium. Yes, his kingdom will be in millennium, but it will not be happening exactly what happens in heaven, exactly will happen on earth, because in heaven, there is no death. In heaven, there is no sorrow. In heaven, there is no pain. So heaven is our eternal home. But many people are misleading today. They are saying the heaven is coming on earth and this earth will never vanish away and we are going to live on this earth for eternity. That is not the God's plan. When you read in book of Revelation, the word of God says new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. We are not talking about this earth will be there forever. Our God is in heaven. We call him Father. And we have to go to heaven. And then verse 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. The children of Israel, when they were traveling and they didn't have the food, they complained to Moses and God gave them the daily manna, only for one day at a time. And they gather for the next day, and it starts stinking, and it was spoiled. So God says, only take one day at a time. Only they were allowed to take extra day on Friday. So Saturday they don't have to go. And sometimes people still went outside and they could not find anything. So what God was teaching them, depend on God every day. You remember there was one rich man. He got a lot of crop and he broken down his old vineyard and he built the new one and he stored everything. And then he said, now, my soul, we have plenty of food, everything we have for many years, and I'm going to rejoice. God said, thou fool, tonight you're going to die. Then what will happen, what you have? So our life on this earth is very fragile and very short. People are thinking, I'm macho, I'm strong, I'm going to live a long. But the people are dying every day. Young people are dying, the babies are dying, the adults are dying, everybody is dying. And that's why some people are scared even to live in this world. Some people kill themselves, they cannot handle the pressure. But our God is a good God. When we trust in Him and live for Him, He has promised long life. Other day we were watching a 700 Club. And there was a man testifying. He says, I am 107 years old. Some people thought, you know, he might be lying. But then he started testifying. He started saying, when the revival, Holy Spirit revival came, I was in that meeting. So that happened 100 years ago. So nobody can say he was lying. He said, when I was 103, I went to Africa as a missionary. And now, 2010, he said, I'm going to go to Haiti to preach the gospel. 107 years old. If you look at him, he looks like in his 60s or maybe younger. So I was thanking God. The man is serving the Lord. So God has given him long life. So the point I'm making, when you live for God, God will extend your life. Why we are living in this world? We are living for Jesus Christ. If you are not living for Christ, your life will be miserable. Your life will have lots of problems. Somebody says, if you are a Christian, you don't have a problem. You have a problem, but God is with you. He gives you grace to have victory over those problems. But if you don't have Jesus, your life is miserable, and that's why people kill themselves. So here the word of God is saying, Lord, give my daily bread. I'm not asking too much. I'm just asking day by day. Because tomorrow, we don't know what holds. So what God has given to us today, be thankful. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 4. We read it, but we are going to go over it.
And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Now, here the word of God is saying, forgive us our sins. Now, when you're asking God to forgive your sins, the same time it says, as we have forgiven every one of them. Then when you forgive others, then God forgives you. The forgiveness also Jesus taught us. When his disciple says, how many times I should forgive my brother? He says, 7 times 7? He said, no, 70 times 7. And so Jesus Christ taught us how to forgive our friends, our neighbors, our enemy, and everyone. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. The word of God says God can only forgive us through Christ or in Christ Jesus.
And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That means God forgives us because of Christ. If you don't have Christ, there is no forgiveness. Some other people can pray and different people can pray. If they don't give their heart to Jesus Christ, their prayer doesn't reach to heaven, reach to this ceiling. We may not reach the ceiling and comes back. But if you are born again, child of God, then your prayer will be answered. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them. And so God heard his prayer. That's why God is forgiving us. Because of Christ. So he said, behalf of Christ, God will forgive your sins. So when you come to God, and if you say, God, give me this, God, give me this, God, do this, God, do that, just like a heathen they do, and they say, God, thank you, amen. When you pray, you start praying, O Heavenly Father, just like Jesus taught us. And when you pray to the Father, you finish your prayer in the name of Jesus. If you don't pray your prayer in the name of Jesus, your prayer will not be answered. The Word of God says, when you pray in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, your prayer will not be answered. Here the Word of God is saying, when you pray to the Father, and God will answer your prayer behalf of Christ. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 56 to 60. Here we see the man of God, Stephen. They were stoning him to death. He's not looking at anybody. He's looking at heaven. Forgive their sins. Where did he learn it? He learned from Christ. Go ahead.
And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
This is a man of God. People were trying to kill him. He's not looking at their stones. He's not looking at their faces. He's looking at God. His eyes were open to heaven and he says, Hey, I see Jesus Christ, Son of Man, standing at the right hand of Father. Can you imagine this man is on earth, he's looking at heaven, and the heaven opened for him, and he could see Father and Son. And he's saying, I see Father and Son. And Jesus Christ, supposed to be sitting at the right hand of God, he's standing. He is concerned about Stephen. And the Stephen says, Lord, forgive these people. He learned from Christ. So if this man died this way and he had the mind to forgive people, how much more we should have the mind to forgive people? We don't forgive people just looking at us with an evil eye. We want to punch them or take their eyes out. We have to learn that Jesus Christ has taught us how to forgive the people. Go to the Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. He says, if you don't forgive, your Father is not going to forgive you.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
You need a forgiveness. You forgive others, then God will forgive you. You pray to the Father, and you praying in the name of Jesus. Then God will forgive us. God will give us grace. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Still in the same subject of prayer. Go ahead.
And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
Now what Jesus Christ is teaching here, when you're praying, don't give up a prayer because it didn't answer right away. He is saying, if there is a man, and in the middle of the night, he got a friend, a guest, and he didn't have the food. So he goes and knocks at the door. He says, Sir, could you give me a bread? He says, Don't bother me. I already locked the door. My children are sleeping. Don't bug me. So this man didn't say, Okay, he doesn't want to give. I'll walk away. He kept on knocking, he kept on saying, until this man gets up and gives the bread. So he is trying to say, if you want answer from God, don't just pray one time and say, maybe God doesn't want to heal, maybe God doesn't want to answer me, I'm not going to bug God anymore. And that's why some other religious people or other denomination people, they say, We know how to pray to God. We do ourselves. Help yourself, then God will help you. You cannot help yourself when you are sick and lying and you cannot lift up a small paper up tissue. How are you going to help yourself? You just call upon God. God is the one who answers prayer. Maybe God doesn't want to say yes. And they give the example of Jesus. They say Jesus asked 3 times, God, let this cup away. And he prayed 3 times. And God did not answer his prayer, and he has to drink that cup. But they forget. Jesus Christ was not saying, take this cup away. I don't want to go to cross. I don't want to die. What Jesus Christ was praying, the devil was killing him in a Gethsemane. Because he was sweating a blood. And if anybody sweats the blood, that person is going to die. And we learned even our Bible study last time, the angel came to minister to him, to strengthen him, because he was dying. And that's the time he said, I don't want to die. I am afraid to die in this Gethsemane. And the word of God says, he prayed with a loud voice, with the tears, and God heard his prayer. Let's read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
It's so very clear. When he was on earth, this prayer he prayed, He cried with a strong crying, with the tears, and he was feared, and he was afraid to die. Where was this situation in his life? That is only I can see in Gethsemane. No other place he prayed this kind of prayer. And the word of God says God heard his prayer and delivered him, and he did not allow him to die on the Gethsemane. Jesus Christ was not saying, I don't want to die on the cross. He wanted to die on the cross. And that's the reason he came into this world. And so, some people will teach you, God did not hear his son's prayer. So he will not listen to your prayer also. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. Only God says no when you don't pray according to his will. If you ask God, Lord, I have a friend, and that friend became my enemy, kill him. God will not answer that prayer, because it's not according to the will of God. And so the Word of God is saying, when you pray, you keep on asking God until you get the answer. There is another example, but let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Here is another example he gave. There is a judge. That judge, he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about anybody.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
He gave an example about the judge. The judge says, I don't care about anybody. But this is widow. She has nobody to fight for her. He was thinking, what this widow is going to do? I'm not going to answer her. She kept on knocking at his door. She is wearing me out. She is troubling me. Just because she is wearing me out, I'm going to answer her. Our God never sleeps, never slumbers. So when you keep on asking God, he will answer prayers. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, starting from verse 11.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Now here he gave another example. Now if you read this in an original language, he says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Until when? Until you receive your answers. So here the Word of God is saying, the worldly people, when the worldly children, they ask them something. They ask the bread. The worldly person doesn't give them a stone. If they ask a fish, they don't give them the serpent. If they ask the egg, they don't give them scorpion. So he said, though the evil people on this earth, they know how to do good. In Matthew, he says, good things. Luke, he says, God, Heavenly Father, will give you the Holy Spirit. Now somebody will say, Matthew says good things, and the Luke says Holy Spirit. What is good? One person came to Jesus Christ and said, good master. He says, only God is good. So when you're asking good things, and the Holy Spirit is God. So he says, when you ask God, he will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit doesn't come silently. We have to ask. Just like he gave an example, if you're hungry, you ask for bread. If you're hungry for the Spirit of God, you ask God, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says all good gifts comes from above. So God gives all good gifts. The devil gives all bad gifts. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, enemy is a thief or the robber, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So see here, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So he says, ask me and I'll give it to you. But don't stop until you receive it. And that's what he's teaching us. And he says, when you ask, he will give it to you. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, and start reading from verse 14.
And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven.
Here we see the one demon-possessed man who was dumb, and Jesus healed that man. And the word of God says some people wondered. Wow! We never saw this thing. Jesus Christ did a miracle. And some people start saying, He is doing by the Baal-Zabul or Beelzebul or Beelzebul. But what kind of Zabul he is? He is all satanic, and they said he is the cheap devil. He gives power to people to cast out the devils. Now Jesus Christ said to them, Are you in your right mind? Devil cannot cast out devil himself. If he start doing that, that means he's destroying his whole kingdom. It cannot happen like that. So let's read a little bit further.
But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub.
Here is a very good example for us. We fight in the house. He says, when you fight in the house, your house will be divided. Your house is divided, that house will fall. That means you need a unity in the house. The devil brings some kind of problem in your family. Here the word of God says, the devil has a unity. You don't see in a devil like a disagreement. And so he says, his kingdom is still standing. If the devil was divided, his kingdom will not stand. So his kingdom is standing. No one has power to destroy his kingdom. But Jesus Christ came, and he is the only one can destroy the works of the devil. So he says, you people are telling me, I am casting out the devils in Beelzebul's name. Then how your children casting out the devil? Please read.
And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges.
No one can cast the devils in devil's name. Why? Because his kingdom is not divided. He is strong and holding on to his kingdom. And the verse 20.
But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you.
I cast out the devils by the what? The finger of God. The devil is scared of finger. When you point the finger to devil in the name of Jesus, devil trembles. So that's why people don't like showing fingers. They say, don't show me finger, because they are scared. Here he says, I cast out the demon by the finger of God. God has given us power. They want to cast out devil or heal the sick. They tell somebody to stand behind him and just push that person. Person falls down. They pick them three times and push them on down. You know how to do that. Jesus Christ never did it. He said, I cast the devils by the finger of God. We can tell person far away and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. They will be healed. You don't have to push them. You don't have to pull them. You don't have to take credit for yourself. Because we don't have power to heal even fly. Only God does. We cannot take any credit for healing anybody. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils.
Now here, when this verse you read, is a little bit complicated. And many people will give you different kinds of meaning. He says, there is a strong man, and he has a power and he keeps everything strong by his power. But another stronger man comes and overpowers him. Who are these two strong men? Strong man is a devil. He's a strong, he's an evil man. But the Jesus Christ is stronger than him. You remember, we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, is the greater one is what? Within you than what is in the world. So the greater one is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are greater one than the enemy. Enemy is a strong man, but we have Christ in us, so we can destroy the strong man in the name of Jesus. Read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
And when did he destroy his work? Let's read the Colossians. Book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 15.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Spoiled the powers of principalities on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Please read.
Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Who is this? Jesus. Jesus has power to destroy the strong man. He did it on the cross, and he's going to do it again. When he did it on the cross, the devil's head is crushed on the cross. But he has still some power left. Now he doesn't have power over the Christians, but he has power over the unsaved people. That's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded what? The minds of unbelievers. He cannot blind us. He cannot destroy us. Only he does to the unsaved people. Why? Because they should not see the glory of God, the power of God, the image of God, or the Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. But the day is coming. The devil's work is already destroyed. Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the devil has his own trinity. He's called a devil, who is the Father. He's called old serpent. And then is the Antichrist. And then a false prophet. So they have their trinity. When Jesus Christ comes, he's going to get hold of the Antichrist and false prophet. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and start reading from verse 19.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
These both, who are both, Antichrist and the false prophet, they will be cast into the lake of fire, and the fire will be burning for eternity. Antichrist and the false prophet, beast is called Antichrist, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Where this devil will be cast out? Where the beast was Antichrist, and the false prophets, they were already in hell, and then the devil also will be cast there in the lake of fire, and will be burning forever and ever, means eternity. So only Jesus Christ is the strongest man than any devil on earth. So he is trying to say, don't tell me I am casting out the devil with the power of devil. I have more power than any devil on earth. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 23.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth.
He says, if you are with Jesus Christ, you will gather. What are you gathering? You're gathering the souls. You're gathering the blessings of God. But if you're not with Him, you're losing it. So only we can win through Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we have no power. Without Christ, we have nothing, no strength, nothing. With Christ, we can do everything. That's why St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We can do all things means all things. There is nothing impossible for the children of God. You remember we just read in the book of Luke chapter 18, when I'm coming, the Son of Man is coming, or Jesus Christ is coming, he said, shall I find the faith on earth? So why is he saying that? Because at the end time, people are going to lose faith in God. It's happening today. But we are going to get stronger and stronger, and there will be a great revival before Jesus Christ comes. Then the church will be gone, and the Antichrist, false prophets, and the devil will make this world as a hell. You be with Christ, then you gather. Our job is to gather souls for Christ. Don't be selfish. So here the word of God is saying, we have to be in Jesus' side. Then the devil has no power over us. Verse 24.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Somebody says, I don't understand, but this is talking about the person who got saved, born again. The devil is cast out. The evil spirit is out. The evil work is out. So now this building, this temple is clean and holy. We should be worshiping God. We should be thanking God and glorifying God because now you are born again. But the people sometimes, they walk in the Lord for a while, and the trials and temptations and the world's crisis comes, and they give up on God and then walk away from God. Then the devil says, now I'm going to come back. And he comes back. He doesn't come alone then. He brings seven evil demons worse than him and make that man's stage worse than before. And so that's what the word of God is saying. If you are born again and you became backslidden, then you will have more punishment. That's why some denomination, they don't want to hear that. They said, if the person is born again and he's backslidden, first of all, they don't use the word backslidden. They said there is no backslidden in the word of God. But I can tell them so many places. But what they are trying to say, once you are born again, you saved forever. And you are not going to lose your salvation. And if somebody really, really in sin, and you point out that person, do you think this person is still born again? Then they will say, he was never saved. That's misleading. The Bible doesn't teach that. Bible says people can be backslidden. Let's go to the 2 Peter chapter 2 and start reading from verse 20.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
What happened to these people? They gave up the worldly desires. They became Christian. They followed the Christ. And then what happened? They tangle again in the worldly system. That means they gave up the world, followed the Christ. Now they are saying, I don't want Christ. And they tangled again in the world system. That means now they are not walking with Christ. They don't want Christianity. They don't want any spirituality. And they are going back to the world. And so he says, now their stage is worse than the beginning. Just like it says that there have one demon before when they came to Christ. Now when they back to the world, they got seven demons. And some people say, what happened to me? Because now they have no protection. God is not protecting them because they are in the devil's hand. So read following verse.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
He says it was better for these people never to come to Christ. Then somebody says, then we should not be preaching the gospel to other people because they will have more punishment. No, we are trying to bring them from the hellfire. But here the word of God is saying, if you never told anybody about Jesus Christ, that person will go to hell. But the person who knew Christ and he became backslidden, he will go to hell, but he will have double punishment. How? If somebody does the crime unknowingly, he has a lesser punishment. And somebody does the crime purposely, that person has a double punishment. And he's giving another example. Please read the verse 22.
But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Dog goes to vomit, means and eats back. Pig goes washed and goes back to the dirt and mire. And that's the condition happened to the backslidden people. It was good for them not knowing Christ. Now knowing Christ and going back to the world, you will have greater punishment. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 27.
And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Now here one lady comes and says to Jesus, you know what? The lady who gave you birth, she is blessed. He did not say she is not blessed. He said, yes, she is blessed. But the who are more blessed, who hears my word and keep the word, or do it according to my word, those people are more blessed. We just read in the book of Luke, we studied chapter 8. Just go back and read verse from 19 to 21. Somebody came and said, your brothers and your mother, they are waiting outside. Jesus says, who is my brother? And who is my mother? Please read.
Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it.
Hear the word of God and do it. Or walk according to the word of God. Jesus Christ says, those people are my brothers, sisters, and my mothers. That is not a big thing, giving birth, because God can make children from the stone. The worldly people just have mother. They say Mother Earth. Anything happened, Mother Earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit took the mud, took the dust, and made the first man. There was no mother. So the point Jesus Christ is saying, who is my mother? Who listens to the word of God and who do accordingly. If you read in the book of Acts, Mary, mother of Jesus, waited in the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit. And Mary, mother of Jesus, when Jesus Christ was risen, she fell down on her face, touched Jesus' feet, and worshipped him. That's why she had chance to go to heaven, not because giving the birth to Christ. So the word of God is saying, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, what we supposed to do? Read the word, study the word, do according to the word of God, then we'll go to heaven. We became Christian, receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, inviting him in our heart, and then give our life to him, then we are Christians. Jesus Christ is teaching us how to pray, how to be strong, how to be strong in the Lord, how to cast out the demons, how to overcome, and obeying him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. And your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Lord Jesus, give us the same authority and power to overcome the enemy. And let us live in this earth, not for ourselves, but winning souls for Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.